The dark, the color, and makes you look a little better than you did. Not as hard on me looking at you so long. Now's a good time to take all that candy and food away from them kids. Right now. Get it away from them, get in a habit of it. You say, well, they'll cry. Well, if they're under 3, they need to be in a nursery. And for over 3, you need to beat them and make them cry. And they'll quit crying. You should not let them kids control you like that. I've seen oodles of them go, ah! And as soon as you start out with them, they're real quiet and good. Now, I know you got to be dumb not to be able to figure that out. You got to be dumb not to be able. I hate to sound like that, but my goodness, folks. You're surely that smart. If it's somebody else's, you can see it. So you ought to be able to see it if it's yours. They should not be allowed to disturb service, and they should not be allowed to eat in church. Amen. If they got to have a bottle, that's one thing. But not food to eat. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 here. Amen. Little book of Titus. It's just 3 chapters here. And we'll look here in the first chapter over here just quickly. Tonight, I'm not really going to give you the whole outline. Last Sunday night, I preached on how I love our church, and the church. And you need to do that. Everybody needs to do that. You need to love your church. There was people here this morning until nearly 2 o'clock working because they love the church. It was oodles of people here yesterday. A lot of people just showed up and go, well, you know, there's so many people going here, didn't even know what to do, but just wanted to help. And it's good to see people love the church. Let's look here in Titus chapter number 1. And here in Titus chapter 1, Paul is writing to this preacher, man Titus, and he said in verse number 4, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders. Here's what I want you to notice. In every city, as I appointed thee. And then he goes on to talk about how what an elder, a bishop, a preacher should be, a pastor. And then I just want you to notice that. He said, I want you, Titus, to ordain a preacher in every city. God's will. The Holy Ghost wrote that. It's God's will for every city to have a preacher in it and a church in it that'll reach that community for the Lord Jesus. We have, coming up here in 2 weeks, we have the greatest opportunity to get lost souls in on a regular service than we've ever had. We have an opportunity. It's unreal, the opportunity that we have. These girls we're going to be meeting with in just a few minutes, after I get through in just a few minutes, they're going to be calling. Everybody here, you're going to be getting a phone call here in the next few days. All of you. And you're going to get invited to our church. I told them, call Brother Bruce. Rag him. Call me. Call my house. They're calling everybody in McDowell County. You say, well, there's some people in town won't like it, preacher. Yes, sir, they sure are some people in town that won't like it. But I want to tell you tonight, buddy, when the judgment day comes, there ought not to be a person in this county point their finger at our church and say, they never tried to reach me. They never called my house, never knocked on my door, never give me a track. I know they hate us now. They hate it now. But the day's going to come. The day's going to come. Carpet man, big boy over here. Me and him went to the barbershop last week, that first week he was here, a couple weeks ago. And we both got a haircut. And boy, he started out preaching almost in the barbershop. And I know, you know, I know these guys, and I live around here. And they all know me. And he started in on them, and everybody in there, they was running their mouth about cars and this and that and the other. And when he started, their heads just dropped, and they got quiet. Just like that. Never said another word. We was over at the Hook and Anchor, went to eat some fish for him today, since he done a big job today. And I didn't have to feed him today. Can you believe that? Glory to God. Cotton paid for his, and he paid for mine. Amen. But anyway, He went in there giving out tracts to everybody in there. All these people know me. Boy, they all. Now, you know what that makes them going to do? Makes them going to hate us that much worse. But I want to tell you something, buddy. When the judgment day comes, there ought not to be one person in this town that can point their finger and say, that church that sat there for 20 years and never tried to reach my soul for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd rather be mad at us now and not then than, brother, us be sweet and get along with the community now and them cuss us on the judgment day. And there'll be a lot of them doing that. I don't want to stand at the judgment with our community's blood dripping off our hands. I don't want to say, boy, we had this nice big building and let our community go to hell. I don't think we ought to let this opportunity pass. Oh, what a change for Busworth. They's going to be slewing. Do you realize, more than likely, there will be more lost people here that Sunday morning, 2 weeks in the day, than there is in the average church in 5 years. Maybe even 10 years. I don't know. A lot of them. What a blessing. What an opportunity to be able to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. What a opportunity. Every community needs a man of God, a preacher. We need to do something. Hey, we ain't got time to sit around and have business meetings. We don't have time to sit around and argue about details. You know how many business meetings we had about all this? One, and it was after we done decided to do it. Listen, you know what? There ain't no reason in all that. There's no sense in it. God didn't call us to sit around and argue about what. What if I'd have said, all right, what color carpet should we buy, people? Well, we'd have still been fussing about it. A year later, amen? You ain't going to satisfy everybody. Some people, if you don't like this, just because you just don't know no better. Now, I want to tell you something. We don't have time to sit around and have business meetings. Some churches have more business meetings than they do preaching services. That's ridiculous. Well, God didn't call us to have business meetings. God didn't call us for recreation. Some churches have more ball games than they do Wednesday night services. That's not our calling. Our calling is to get the gospel out to this community before they die. I'm glad somebody got it to me. I'm glad somebody got it to me so they keep my soul out of hell. I'm glad I don't have to go to hell tonight because there was a church down the road there who had the lights on and a man of God come to town and prayed and people fasted and I got in because somebody prayed and somebody cared. Listen, there's thousands of little Dannys out here running around lost without God. There's thousands of Jason out here, young people out on drugs. There's hundreds of young people in our town. You can see them. You can spot them. You can tell by their car. Their car ain't this high off the ground. They're sitting about like this. And they come down there, and here's the way they drive their car. Here's the seat. Here's the seat right here. Here's the way they sit in it. They look under the steering wheel, I guess. That's why you know they're on drugs. Amen? And they shave their hair and wear a baseball hat. Anybody that does that, you got to watch out for them. You got to watch out for them. They're getting messed up with the wrong stuff. They're in a cult. Amen. Boy, I caught it again the other day. I don't know if I would tell them about this or not. Who was it with me? Was it you with me? Who was it with me when that lady jumped on me uptown? Are you in here tonight? Not her, him. The guy that was with me. Oh, boy, she started on me. I said, are you going to come to the 20th anniversary? She said, what are you going to do that Sunday? I said, we're going to drink blood and sacrifice people. I said, that's what you want to hear? And she said, what's the cults going to do that day? I'll tell you who the cults are. It's the Tar Heel fans. Amen. And the Marilyn Manson followers. And Rolling Stone. That's the cult. That's the cult right there. Brother, we got our heads screwed on right. Amen? Amen, brother. I'm telling you this evening, ladies and gentlemen, we need a church. This community needs a church. This community needs a church. This community needs a church. I remember hearing about Dr. Jack Hiles several years ago, how that a grocery store right down the street put pornography in the grocery store. And they put them out on the shelf, Playboy, Hustler, all them, my old wicked magazines, I can't, had them out. Preacher found out about it. He called out and talked to the manager. He said, sir, I heard that you put pornography on your shelves. He said, that's right. Gonna sell it. Community wants it. He said, our church is right up the street. He said, I just thought I'd tell you, and I thought you might want to know, that I'm going to be announcing it Sunday morning in our church. And we'll have 6,000 to 7,000 people there, and I'm going to be telling them that we don't want to buy no more groceries from your store. And the guy got mad and said, I don't care if you do or not. It's a free country. I've got my rights. I'll do what I want to. And hung up the phone. And less than a few hours later, the pastor's telephone rang. It was a grocery store owner down the street. And this representative called and said, "Preacher, we just thought we'd let you know." I think it was a few days before the church service that we decided to pull the magazines off the shelf and take them off. Now listen, that's why a community needs a church. You know what it does? You know what a church does in a community? It keeps the light on, keep the cockroaches drove back in the crack somewhere. If you don't believe it, go up north where there ain't many Bible preaching churches, and there's a liquor store on every corner up all them, and it's all over. There's open sin. But now they sin here in McDowell County, but all the churches keep it beat down a lot. And it's not out in the open, it is like in a big city. Buddy, I'll tell you what, you remember when the bookstore used to be a beer joint? Bookstore used to be a beer joint, if you don't know that. And we always wanted that. I mean, we used to stand up there and talk about it and say, I reckon the Lord would give us that place. Boy, and then when they started selling beer, it really got us upset. And we prayed about it and talked about it. And finally, they run that store, and I used to go over and talk to them. I said, "You know what we'd do? We'd buy all our gas for our buses from you people if you'd quit selling beer." "Nope, ain't going to do it. This town here wants it. We voted it in. We're going to sell it." Wasn't long until the store came up for sale. And we found out about it and got together and raised the money and bought it and turned into a Christian bookstore. And later we found out that the guy who run it was fussing and saying, "Man, I couldn't do no good. I was right there on East Court Street, but people wouldn't buy beer because they didn't want to carry it out and when them church people is over there." And I said, "Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Glory be to God. Amen." You know, you have to put something in a brown bag to carry it out. I mean, what's the matter? Are you ashamed of it or something? People say, "Boy, I've been just looking. Every time I go by the ABC store up here, I look, selling people coming out. Next time I see somebody I know, I just want to just blow my horn and wave at them like that. Hey!" Wonder how come that thing's just so close. We're the closest church to the ABC store. What a blessing. What a blessing. Amen? We ought to hit it a good lick. We're about due to hit that thing a good lick. Don't y'all agree? Amen. You say, "Brother Danny, you'll stir up trouble." Glory to God! Amen! We ought to let this town know that liquor is sending our kids to hell and it's breaking up families and causing divorce. We ought to hate it. We ought to fight against it. You say, "Well, I want to go to a non-militaristic church." You want to go to a bunch of backslid deadheads that don't never do nothing for God, don't you? Buddy, we need to make up our mind. We'll take our stand. I seen one of the cars pouring out of the beer store one night. It wasn't a liquor store, a beer store. Had New Manor Baptist Church on the back of the bumper stick. But somebody had that car. Please, man, when you trade your cars, take them bumper stickers off of it. Somebody else owned it and they drove in there. Take them off. You don't know where that thing's going to wind up. But every community needs a church. Every community needs to know somebody cares. There's approximately 400,000 churches in America now, at least claim to be. Most of it's so pitiful that nothing ever happens. Oh, it's sad. Most churches have no Sunday night preaching and no Wednesday night service at all. Coffee and donuts, something like that, choir practice. I got one little boy, he's trying to get his buddy to come to church. He said, "Why don't you go to my church, women?" He said, "Can't. I belong to another abomination." Now listen, the church reminds people there's a God that loves them. A room of quiet, a temple of peace, a house of comfort where hope is given, a source of strength to point us to heaven, a place of worship, a place to pray. All this I found in my church today. We didn't build this balcony and all this stuff just so it'd look pretty, and it does. But it don't look too pretty with people not sitting in it. Amen. Now they don't have that excuse. "Well, I'd come to that church, but there ain't nowhere to sit." It's not that way now. I mean, it ain't probably won't be long till we have that problem again. And so I've already been asking. People say, "What are we going to do next?" I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. Every community needs a church. Amen. And so our plan is to get these girls on the phone in a nice, polite way. Our plan is to try to get people to come. That big day on March 2nd, we're going to be bringing the bus kids through. If there's room, possibly march them through here and bring them through. This community needs to know that the church ought to care all about kids and lost souls. Don't ever get... See, you know, I'm a preacher. I work out. Everybody in town knows me. I mean, I know that. I know, and I don't like it like that. Because everywhere, it don't matter where I go in this town, any business. I mean, I know I got people's eyes on me all the time. I don't like that. It's aggravating. It's a blessing to go off somewhere else, you know, and not have to worry about whatever step you take. But I'll never forget, just 2 or 3 months ago, the Lord showed me I got to keep my heart tender, and I do keep my heart tender toward lost sinners. And I was going up the street there and up there at the store, these girls were using a phone, and they come up to me and they said, "Sir," and I said, "Yes," and they said, "There's a man laying right down the street here. We think he's dead. And he's laying on the porch of that old house right up there past the red light, and he's just laying there." So I went down there and drove my car, turned around, parked across the street, and went across that old abandoned white house right up there past the red light, and I stopped, and sure enough, I laid on the porch, and I thought, well, he looks dead. I don't know if he is or not. So I kind of looked at him, you know, and I was going to kick him or something, see if he's alive, see if he's breathing. And I got real close to him, and I said, "Hey!" And he went, I catch, you know, and raised up. I said, "Okay, he ain't dead. Man, what's the matter with you?" And then he's drunk, passed out. Whew, man, I thought about, what if that's your daddy? What if that was your daddy laying out there like that? Now think about that. What if that was your daddy? And I said, "You all right, man?" He said, "Yeah, I'm all right. I'm just taking a little nap here and everything." I said, "Well, you know the Lord loves you, and the Lord Jesus is the only hope you've got. Listen, I mean, just because I got in a suit don't mean that I can't get down like this and help a man whose life is wrecked in sin. And by the way, listen, we got a nice, beautiful building here. I think we got the prettiest church. I mean, one of the prettiest churches I've ever been in my life. But that don't change one thing about an old, dirty sinner coming in here and getting help from God. That old guy, listen, that's the whole secret of the whole thing. You say, they'll get our new pews dirty. We'll raise money and buy some new ones. That's what they're for. That's what they're for. Oh, don't you come to me with this junk of, oh, these little bus kids are putting boogers on our carpet. And they're like, well, I'd rather have that than cobwebs like most churches have. Listen, that old man, I said, "Listen, I'll be praying for you, all right?" And he said, "Come back." He's just laying on that porch. You can't help but laugh at them sometimes. They're funny. It's like that old drunk went down the street and he went up to a parking meter. Like that, you know. He put a nickel in it. And he went, "What about that?" Gave up eating chocolate and it's still 2:05. They'll tickle you to death. Some of you dummies still ain't got that. Well, anyway, every community needs a church. It was the church where I got delivered and born again. It was the church where I got called to preach one Sunday morning. But it was the church where I learned how to treat my family and be good to my girls and every moral thing about it. I learned that in church. We don't realize you get more sound advice about church or in church on one Sunday morning than you can get in 15 trips to a psychiatrist. Absolutely free. Absolutely free. You can learn more about how to solve your marriage problems and get along with other people and get along on your job at the house of God one Sunday than you can 6 months of seminars out there that the world conjures up. Right here getting our hearts wrapped around this altar. I'm not saying there's not a place for a good Christian psychiatry, but I'm saying that help comes from this book right here. Happiest people in the world are God's people. Buddy, we need to put forth absolutely every effort we can. Some of you still need to get on the phone and get ready and talk to your loved ones. Some of you still have a brother, have a sister. Who knows? You say, "Well, Brother Danny, they probably won't get saved." Well, maybe all of them won't, I'm sure. But who knows? God might plant a little seed in that heart and they'll go to thinking about it. And I'll tell you one thing, even if they're not under conviction, someday they will be. And when they get under conviction, they'll say, "I know where to go now. I know where that watering hole is. And I'm going to go to the house of God and get saved." I'm going to stop right there tonight. I didn't really give you the outline much. I just wanted to brief us. See, we only have one more Sunday night. That's next Sunday night. And Lord willing, if I get back all right, we'll have next Sunday night, and then 1 week to fly in here and work like maniacs, getting ready for the big day. The reason I want the balcony done now is because we're going to work on the service now. And I believe God is going to do a great work. I want you to just stand with me and bow your heads, please.